Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I think the things that stood out were evident in this video. There's a toughness there that doesn't get talked about enough. There's a competitive spirit there that doesn't get talked about enough. I know he's very talented and he's made a lot of plays for his university and his team, but the intangible qualities displayed on tape were impressive to me.
Mike Tomlin talking about Shedeur Sanders. Peter Schrager of ESPN has now mocked Sanders to the Steelers 21st overall because of what he's hearing around the league. And now we are joined by Doug Whaley, our NFL executive insider, our friend. It's a perfect day to talk to Doug. Doug, first of all, A, how you doing? B, if you were in the catbird seat as GM right now, when's the last time you would have slept?
First, what's more exciting to your listeners, Christmas Eve or draft day Eve?
I can't speak for the listeners. I can speak for me. I am ready for this puppy.
Yes.
I think everybody is. Just the buildup is, it's almost getting overblown. Just almost jumping the shark, as they say.
And frankly, this year, we hadn't spent as much time on the draft as we had in previous years based on all the Rodgers stuff going on, based on the relative unknowns in this draft. And it was only, I don't know, within the last week plus, that we've considered even quarterback being in play for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's because they hadn't really considered quarterback being in play for them until maybe they got some scuttlebutt around the league saying that these guys or one of these guys could be available 21st overall.
Well, how excited are execs right now or in scouts and knowing that the process is done? Like, how excited are they for tomorrow? Well, are you excited or are you just like, all right, it's just a job?
Oh, well, to answer his question, you sleep well if you do it right. And I equate it to practice. And we're talking practice, man. No, but when you go through the draft process and you set your board 2 or 3 days before the draft, I'm ready for the game. I'm starting to get excited. Now, you sleep comfortably because you've prepared and you're just ready to flip the switch. And guys, the way we did it is, and I got it from when we were in Pittsburgh, we used to do mock drafts. So all you're really doing is different scenarios where guys would be available and who would you do? I said, well, let's do it this way. Everybody's on the board, and you have the first pick. Who you take it? Boom, you move that guy over. And you take it all the way down to whatever pick you are. You've talked out every scenario, and you know. So guess what? Draft, you're just sitting there like, all right, let the board fall. And whoever's left there, we've talked out every scenario. There is nothing else to talk. So it actually is, I wouldn't say boring, but if you do it right in the first round, second round things start opening up because you change because of who you draft in the first round and all this other stuff. But it should just be like, all right, we're ready to go. And that's how it was for us. It was like, all right, this is what we do. They call this play. We're going to audible this play. We're going to blitz on this play. Now, we'd also put, and I told you guys this, all right, let's say we're at 21. We'd look at, oh, at 11, those are guys that if they're hanging there, we would consider trading up to. Then you go down to say, okay, maybe there's 25 guys that you wouldn't trade away from. And then there's guys that you could trade down to. And then you'd have to say, say there's 30 guys that you like, we could trade down to 30. Now you got to make sure front there's 10 guys at 21 right. that are still there mm-hmm. that you like, because you're going to, like Omar said, you don't want to trade away from good players just to get picks. And that's where that analytics driven mantra of trade down and get more bites at the apple. Well, you're just throwing darts. You get paid to evaluate and evaluate right. And that's why you trust your evaluation and you do it that way. But to answer your question, it's exciting time, but it's controlled, temperate, excitement because it's game day and you just got to go out and execute. But if you believe in your preparation, you believe that you're going to execute correctly.
Do you ever do mocks where you'll mock a guy to your team that you know probably won't, like a Travis Hunter? Will you ever like just do a mock, like say Travis Hunter fell, say something happened and he was on the board, or are you just like, if that happens, we're absolutely going to take
him? He's smoking pot out of a Bane mask or something right. night of the draft.
Tunsil. Jeremy Tunsil. Right, exactly. Tunsil, yeah. Absolutely. And that's one of those things, because we did the work, only thing we had to do is talk, because we had him on the board. We had to talk to the ownership. I'm like, hey, listen, are you okay with this? And they were like, the Pagulas were like, what else is there? Like, no, that's all right. How many other people in the league smoke weed? Us probably 75 to 80%. Like, okay, let's do it.
Let's do it. You
know? How's that number sound, Dickerson? Is it 75-80%? You think that's right on?
That's probably a little low. Probably 89.
Now,
90.
Nowadays, yeah.
Now, yeah. Little,
yeah.
So 90.
But we were even starting thinking, okay, let's start thinking about packaging and trading up. And no, that's the type of thing where you're like, okay, we got to be ready if something like that happens. But if you do it the way we did it, we've talked about everything. Now, again, that came out the night before the draft. Then you huddle up and you're mm-hmm. all right, blah, blah, blah. And you got to start formulating a plan of what you want to do and getting sign off from ownership.
There's a million different questions we can ask you here, and we're going to ask as many as possible. But just to pull a name out here, Walter Nolan, defensive lineman. He is, according to reports, not on some people's draft boards, though he would be a first-round talent in this draft. He has a history of walking off the practice field mid-session due to frustration. Some scouts have raised concern about his maturity, perceived lack of a motor. Do you think that's a guy that would be on your board, like in the right circumstances, like if he falls into the fifth round, sixth round, yeah. something like that, or do you take him off altogether?
No, that's what the talent would. We would put a character marker on him, and depends. It's usually a 2 to 3 round marker. Like we had a guy that was very talented. Actually, we picked him in the 7th round from Miami. Failed a drug test at the combine. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
You know you're getting right. tested. Take 30 days off. You either have a problem or you're an idiot. And most of the time it's both. But the talent was so great that we ended up saying, on the 7th round, it's just like a free agent. Let's get taken. Mm-hmm. So, yes. But you don't want to, when I think of first round picks, you want to have as few questions as possible in that first round pick. And also, you want to have something in that report that has the word dynamic in it. And that's when we start talking, and I was thinking about this driving in, has anybody said anything dynamic about Shedeur Sanders?
No. And
yeah, just jump in, right?
Yeah.
Even what you were hearing what Coach Tomlin said, it was about his competitiveness, his ability to handle this and that. There was nothing about, oh, I love, he's dynamic with the ball in his hands. Dynamic thrower, dynamic passer, whatever, dynamic runner.
They have about Dart.
Exactly. So that's where
Milroe too.
That's where I was brought up and thought is like in the first round, as few questions as possible, and there's got to be something dynamic.
Okay, that's an interesting thing that you bring up now, because I was going to ask you, what makes a high ceiling quarterback? Because all the scouting reports you read, you watch Shedeur Sanders, and it's accuracy, it's throwing guys open, it's his football IQ, which I think are all traits that you absolutely want and need your quarterback to have, mm-hmm. and always have needed those. But you're right, there's nothing dynamic about him. Can your brain elevate you to a very high ceiling, or do you need to have those traits?
No, and that is where we aren't privy to that information. When you sit down, is his brain dynamic enough to overcome his lack of physical dynamicism, if that's a word?
Ooh.
Ooh, it is now.
It is now.
Yep. Yeah. tell Starkey to start.
Chew on that, Webster.
Yeah, and Starkey.
Yeah.
But that's where you just don't know, and that was the difference from Tom Brady. He had a brain that was dynamicism.
Well, now you just sound like Antonio Brown. Yeah. Uh-oh, boys. Here we go. We have breaking news. Diana Russini of The Athletic. She's very good. She's tapped in. One of the best writers in the country. The Steelers, Browns, and possibly the Vikings could be involved in a trade involving Kirk Cousins, sources say. So this would kind of spit in the face of, I've heard a whole bunch of Steelers beat writers. Mark Caboli, who's on with us all the time, Ray Fittipaldi, who we spoke with today, Dale Lawley, so many others, people I like, people I trust, say the Steelers have to know more than we do about Aaron Rodgers. That report makes me think they know exactly what Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show. Mm-hmm. If the Steelers are sniffing around on Kirk Cousins, they are not confident where they stand with Aaron Rodgers. Because there's no way in hell that they're going to have Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Mason Rudolph, and Skylar Thompson. Or get rid of Thompson and have a rookie. They ain't doing that.
Mm-mm.
So they can't feel very good about where they stand with Aaron Rodgers right now if this Diana Russini report is accurate.
And more importantly, how comfortable are you feeling that they're thinking about Kirk Cousins?
That's what I took from it.
Kirk who? What?
I need to think about Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, Kirk Cousins?
Please.
Jeez. I mean, and Minnesota. I mean, he just came from Minnesota before Atlanta. So they're interested in bringing him back. And then if you're Cleveland, like, you got Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Kirk Cousins?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jeez, man.
But what I do want to talk about is, remember last year when everybody was talking about the Atlanta Falcons taking Penix after they had signed? And I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm tooting my own horn. I said this is a brilliant move. Because it's hearkening back to the old days where you had a veteran, you bring in a young guy, you let him marinate, mature, and get to the point where when the old man is done, you got a guy that's not a rookie that you have to go with the ebbs and flows, he's ready to play. And it actually was pushed forward a lot quicker than I'm sure they wanted, and Penix had to play at the end of the year. So I have no issues, and I wouldn't mind if Aaron Rodgers comes and if they do take Shador Sanders. That would probably be the best case I would want Shador then if you knew Aaron was coming.
I mean, I'll say this too. If it's not going to be Rodgers and you do draft Shador Sanders and then you bring in Kirk Cousins,
okay,
that's not the worst thing because of that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That to me says they have a plan and are looking at helping develop Shador with an older quarterback.
Right.
Veteran type.
If it's part of this plan.
Right.
Yeah. To help develop your youngster QB, fair enough. If it's Kirk Cousins, Mason Rudolph, and like Will Howard, oh my God.
Oh, that's awful.
The reason why we did see Penix at the end of last season, here's the last six games of Kirk Cousins' 2024 season. If you've got kids in the car, just change the radio station right now. It's too ugly. We don't need them to hear this. One touchdown, nine interceptions, a quarterback rating of 64, 11 sacks, five fumbles.
Jeez.
This guy can't play.
Can't.
So for all the people who don't want Rodgers, I don't want to hear the anti-Rodgers folks today talking up Kirk Cousins. Unless, again, it's part of this plan, give veteran leader to teach Shador Sanders what to do and what not to do. If it's all about this year, Cousins or Rodgers, this guy can't play.
Mm-mm.
Nine picks, five fumbles, 14 potential giveaways in five games?
Terrible.
Oh, my God.
Look up his record in primetime games.
No,
it's no awful. Good.
It's
never been good even when he was good.
Exactly.
Oh.
But can you say he was good if he's not playing when you need him the most?
No.
Thank you.
And we watched that quarterback documentary, Doran, and he seems like a nice guy. Everyone seems to like Kirk Cousins. You like that? That whole thing. You can see why he shrinks in the big moments. He is and I am one myself, he's a classic overthinker.
Yep.
Classic.
Yep.
He's sitting in his car and his wife is reading him play calls and he's repeating them back to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has a device on his head.
You know what? Maybe I've talked myself out of it already. I don't want him under any circumstances.
Zero.
So, Doran, question to you. Every prolific quarterback you've ever been around, when they walk in the room, even if people didn't know him, they have that presence where they're like, who's that dude?
Right. Yep.
Kirk Cousins doesn't have that.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And it's that it factor. I don't know what you say.
Great businessman, though.
Yeah, great. And picked up great agent.
Great agent.
Yeah. And his house is cool.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. It's that presence, that it factor, that guy where you're like, I don't know who he is, but I want to, whatever he says, I'm doing what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
He can lead me.
Shador has that.
Shador has that.
He does
and,
have
and
that.
And that might be the thing that overcomes his lack of dynamicism on the football field.
This is another one of those intangibles, and maybe I'm falling into the trap, but I want a guy that's a son of a gun, and he's a son of a gun. I mean, he is cocky, and that can be a detriment, but I want a guy who's going to stand in there and get abused physically and be able to take that and fail and be able to get back up after he fails. And look, Kenny didn't. Kenny didn't want to dress as the third quarterback. Kenny didn't want to compete. And there's a lot of reasons that went into that. We've talked about some of those things. But I want a guy who can deal with failure, and I think Shador Sanders would be able to deal with failure.
But also, think about this. Nothing's ever going to be too big for him. He went from Jackson State to Colorado and didn't skip a beat, and even elevated Colorado's team, elevated Jackson State, elevated Colorado. He's been around this, whatever you want to call it, entertainment, sports, industry since he was little. He's got one of the most famous dads. His dad's going to help him navigate. For me, everybody thinks that's going to be a detriment or that's a black mark against him. I think it's a positive because he can help him navigate everything that he's going to see and help him misstep some of the potholes a lot of people went through.
Totally agree.
And
with
I totally also agree, and I'll be the first to say, for people to think Deion Sanders is going to meddle in the Pittsburgh Steelers if his son's here, you have to be absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Because there's one thing that no matter when Deion was a player, when he was switching from baseball to football, even in football, when he was prime time, there has not been one report from a teammate saying he was a bad teammate. He was a selfish, bad teammate. Everybody loved him as a teammate because he respected the game and he respected his teammates and he respected the overall ability for people to play in professional sports because it's not a privilege, it's a right. And I think he respects the NFL, the game, his son, and more importantly, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers to say, you do you. I got to Colorado. I got things to do. I got to win games.
They were historically bad before Deion and Shador and Travis Hunter got to Colorado, too. I mean, historically bad. All right, coming up next, more details from the Diana Russini breaking news report that the Steelers are poking around on a potential trade for Kirk Cousins. Also, if there's not a quarterback available at 21, which direction should the Steelers go?
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today. Ah!
That's the mummy sound we play when there is breaking news, and this from Diana Russini. The Steelers could be poking around the Minnesota Vikings, or excuse me, poking around the Atlanta Falcons to trade for Kirk Cousins. Now, there's more to the story, and in the story, now I can't find it, of course. I'm so prepared, guys. I would fail my draft evaluation meeting. If I'd be in for a top 30 visit, my meeting would suck.
Is that my fault too, or no?
No, this one was on me, but I'll take accountability. You should try it sometime. It's believed that Cousins would be against any trade that involves sending him to a situation involving a young quarterback similar to the one he faced in Atlanta last season. All right, Kirk, where are you going to play, big guy? Like, where are you going to play?
Who Pittsburgh? Wants,
I guess if they don't draft a guy,
right.
They're going to draft a quarterback at some point, though. I guess his fear would be
a first round pick.
Yeah.
And J.J. McCarthy's already there.
Right.
Yeah.
It was Minnesota, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, right?
Right.
So yeah. Minnesota's out.
Minnesota would be out by default then.
Mm-hmm. Cleveland, and I would think.
Cleveland's got Kenny. They've got Flacco. They could trade up and take Shador Sanders. That's been thrown around a bunch. And the Steelers, obviously interested in Shador. Maybe Dart if the Shador thing's a smokescreen. What if it's Milroe in round three? Like Milroe at pick 83. The Steelers like him, Mike Tomlin, quarterback mobility, blah, blah, blah. If you're Kirk, are you threatened by Jalen Milroe? two guys that are cut from the same cloth, Doran.
Huh.
Kirk Cousins, a dynamic athlete. Great runner.
Milroe could probably beat him in a backpedal 40-yard dash, and Kirk Cousins running a regular 40-yard dash.
Oh, side dude, he'd be minus 400 to win that race.
Yep.
Side shuffle for sure, minus 800. Two guys that just aren't similar at all.
I just pictured.
All right, you ready? You got hands up playing basketball defense on him. Come on, Kirk. Come on, baby. You got it.
Kirk Cousins is a great play-action quarterback, and they barely ran it last year because they didn't feel like he could turn his back to the defense, and they didn't feel like he'd be able to move around enough. So the Jalen Milroe thing would be very funny. How do you coach those guys at the same time? By the way, more breaking news. This is not NFL draft related. Ishmael Leggett has gone portaling. Pitt Panther. Currently not eligible, though. That's the thing. A lot of these guys with no eligibility are entering the portal because there could be that ruling that grants a extra year eligibility.
Oh, yeah. I got you. I was about to say, that don't make no sense.
So Kirk Cousins, it sounds like, could be a Pittsburgh Steeler if they don't draft a quarterback in the first round. That's pretty much what we're gleaning from that. But the bigger takeaway for me is they might put on that brave face that they have an idea what the hell's going on in Aaron Rodgers' head. But if you're sniffing around on Kirk Cousins, you can't be feeling all that good about where things are with A-Rod. You just can't.
No. But I also give them credit to say, okay, we're not putting all our eggs in one basket. Let's have a fallback plan. Now, you may not agree with the fallback plan, but at least they're supposedly.
Let's say they do take a guy like Riley Leonard from Notre Dame or Will Howard or Kyle McCord from Syracuse. Wouldn't you guys just rather see, and I don't want to watch Mason play 17 games, but I would rather see Mason Rudolph for 17 games than the ghost of Kirk Cousins.
100%.
I just.
1,000%.
1,000,000%. 1,000,000,000. Mm-hmm.
Will Levis or Kirk Cousins?
Jesus.
Will Levis, I saw maybe on the, obviously, I mean, who they're going to pick on the chopping block.
Will Levis or Mason Rudolph?
Again. I sound like Herb Brooks. Just draft Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
He's got to be there, though.
I know. I get the sense, based on that comment, you don't think he will be.
I don't know.
He makes perfect sense for the Browns, dude.
Yes.
They have 10 picks. You can't fit 10 rookies on your roster. You're going to have probably his teammate in Travis Hunter trade back up, take him.
And then think about this. If you don't take him, he goes to the Steelers and becomes a quarterback. So that's why everybody, when you're sitting in that seat, you always draft a quarterback a round earlier because your job security is more threatened if you pass over one that becomes a guy than if you pick one that doesn't become a guy.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Oh, and look, a lot of people seem to think that Kenny Pickett was a Pittsburgh Steeler, at least in some small part because of Dan Marino. You don't think the Browns are a little bit scared of Shedeur Sanders winding up with Pittsburgh?
Absolutely.
Who'd they take? Kellen Winslow instead of Ben Roethlisberger, who
he wanted to join the AARP before his time.
Yes, he did.
See, you just said it in a funny way, and I was going to say
in a bad way.
Yeah, if you have a stomach that can handle some stuff.
He grew up. Yeah, he grew up watching that Grandmama commercial.
Yeah. He liked the Golden Girls. Yeah, you should Google Kellen Winslow and what happened to that guy. My God, what a sicko. Anyway, tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We laugh. We laugh about all this Steelers quarterback stuff. It ain't funny. Kirk Cousins, a guy that a lot of people don't like, and Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, who people might like less, depending on who you talk to, Aaron Rodgers, who he might have one foot out the door for retirement. Things are not great. But let's talk about what they could do if there is not a quarterback available 21st overall. Which direction do they go in? We will get into that coming up next. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. If Shedeur Sanders is off the board, who should the Steelers be looking to take at pick 21? That was the subject of our Fan Morning Show Twitter poll today, brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Couple of the potential names: Amarian Hampton, running back out of North Carolina; Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle out of Oregon; Emeka Buka, the wide receiver from Ohio State; a couple of other defensive linemen as well. Kenneth Grant could be there. What are you looking at, Doug?
I would say, after talking off air with Doran, I would go Hampton, because if Hampton, it'd be between Hampton and Harmon. Those would be the two I'm changing. And if Hampton's there, I'm talking to Doran. Let's go. Let's flip the thought process of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's be a team that scores points. Don't win on defense. Score points, light up the scoreboard. Have the defense is good enough. As long as you put points on the board, you can find a replacement for Hayward later in the draft or next year. Especially if you are going in with Mason Rudolph, surround him with enough weapons to elevate his game.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you got to get aggressive. And, you know, they played, you know, not to lose and controlling the game based off of their defense and trying to slow teams down. Take the game to teams.
Yes.
You know, like, I mean, if you have a dynamic running back, a guy that is, you know, can take it the distance, a guy that can catch the ball in the backfield, win those one-on-ones on linebackers, like, you think about if Mason Rudolph is your quarterback, you have Hampton, Jaylen Warren, Pat Fryer, Muth Darnell, Washington, then you have DK Metcalf and George Pickens and Calvin Austin in slot formations, like, that you can win games.
That's
like
a good offense.
You can win games.
And plus, it helps your defense because they're going to be on the field longer.
Yes.
And gives them breaks. And then also score points, so they're not always chasing the offense.
You could still get a D lineman. I mean, this is, as we said, this is a deep draft for running back and D line. I just am – my thought process is I can get a starting defensive lineman in the third round. I can get a decent running back in the third round, if that makes sense. I can get a really good running back in the first round, but I can get a starter, in my opinion, defensive line in the first round. So to me, I evaluate them different. Yeah. I evaluate those positions different.
Kiesel, sure. Aaron Smith,
yeah,
those guys. Fifth round guys.
I think you can have the exact same conversation backwards. It just depends on whether you value the running back or the defensive line better. This is a deep draft at both positions. The Steelers had visitors at both positions. You guys know where I stand on it. I'm the opposite. I love Amarian Hampton. Love the guy. Mm-hmm. He's a stud. I think he's going to be a multiple-time all-pro kind of player. I think he's that good. I just think you can get running backs later, too. Bashel Tootin, Virginia Tech, ran a 4.3 240, fastest guy in the draft. Fumbles a lot, so I don't know that Tomlin's going to be interested in that. Me, personally, don't care. Figure it out. But I don't think Tomlin's going to have Tootin and Jaylen Warren as your primary two backs. Two guys that are fumblers.
But we all are saying they're coming, they better come out of the draft with those two positions.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. First two picks.
If you don't at running back, do you kick the tires on Nick Chubb?
No.
I thought you were pro Chubb before.
Before
now
he
you're
got
just
hurt.
What are you now?
Before
half Chubb.
Yeah. I'm half Chubb now before he got hurt.
Is it Chubb?
Yeah.
From Cleveland.
Or how can you have half Chubb is what I'm asking.
You know, you're just.
It's either Chubb or Chubb.
I think you're going Chubb. I think you go full Chubb.
You got to go full Chubb. There's no half Chubb. You got to be all.
I mean, I think at like $2 million after the draft, if I don't come away with a guy, I'd be interested in kicking the tires. But he ain't what he used to be. He turned it around a little bit towards the end of the season. But at his best, he might have been the best pure runner in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I would bring him in as a depth guy and see what he's got, but that is not my preference when guys like R.J. Harvey from UCF could be around in the middle rounds. Who else did they have in on visits?
Ollie Gordon,
who his Caleb tape Johnson. 2 years ago was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Johnson, to me, great fit, if I get him at 83. So, look, I think it's in the eye of the beholder. You could take a defensive tackle in the first round and get a running back later, or you could get a running back in round one and a defensive tackle later. We just have different preferences.
Right. I think it's just who is higher rated when they're on the clock.
I'll say this. I think Hampton would be a player that they would have higher on their board. Like grading him against other running backs. I mean, He's a better prospect.
Right.
It just depends on whether you want to do a running back in round one. Now, we know that the last administration had no problem with that. They took Najee Harris. And we know, and you brought this up moments ago, the NFL's taking a different look at this now.
Mm-hmm.
Jahmyr Gibbs goes to Detroit.
Yep. Bijan Robinson.
Bijan Robinson in Atlanta. I mean, that list goes on. And I'm seeing these mocks. Some of them have three running backs with Travion Henderson getting into round one. So running backs are back in vogue. They're hot again. They're getting paid in the offseason. They're getting drafted in the first round. Personally, me, if Shador Sanders isn't there, Derek Harmon's my guy 10 times out of 10. Love him.
Let me jump in. When we talk about entertainment and sports, Kelce, the center from Philly, was supposed to be this great player. He propelled himself into a media star. He leaves. They win a trophy, and Cam Jurgens just gets $68 million. The guy was not that good. Just telling you. He was okay center,
right,
but he's not even close to like sniffing like a Hall of Fame. He was just the brother of Kelce.
I agree.
And he just, and I'm not hating on him. Good that he parlayed it and his wife. I'm just saying you just got to be careful what the media spins and the true value of a football player, especially.
They didn't miss a beat.
They did. What do you mean?
They didn't miss a beat.
They didn't miss a beat. They actually upped their beat and won a championship without him. Everybody's like, oh, Kelce's going to leave that offensive line. He was the heart and soul of it. I don't think so.
I don't know where they keep finding money, these damn Eagles.
I know.
We got the damn Dodgers. We got the damn Eagles. They paid everybody.
Yep.
They paid the linebacker.
Yep.
They paid the running back. They paid the center. $68 million.
It's elevated structuring of the contract, not we did it this way all the time. You got to get up with the times. There are ways to manipulate the cap as long as you're willing to think outside the box instead of saying, this is how we've always done it.
Yeah, and for all the relative failures the Steelers have had, I think Omar Khan's very good at that too. I think that's might be his number one strong suit. Social media's biggest loser can just be me. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. We got one more segment with Doug Whaley coming up on the way, but first, got to tell you about an awesome opportunity. You could join me and True Fan Travel for a once-in-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the Black and Gold play across the pond this fall. 5 nights in Dublin. That includes tours of Guinness and Jameson, pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel and air or land-only packages are available. For information on how you can take over Ireland with me, you can go to 937thefan.com, and you can find that link right there on the homepage. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Doug Whaley in with us for one more segment. Doug, did you ever watch the Kevin Costner film Draft Room?
Draft Day.
Whatever.
Draft Room, Draft Night.
I never did.
I never saw it.
Lakers and Five. No.
But it was actually...
Draft Night, Draft Room, Lakers and Five.
It was...
Shoot. So you saw it? You liked it?
No, good. I never saw it, but it was actually filmed in Buffalo, and our team president at the time had a role in it. Too.
Oh, how about that?
Yep.
I never watched it.
I've never seen it.
You never seen it?
Uh-uh. It seems like people either love it or hate it.
Not like it.
It doesn't take much for me to be entertained, honestly.
It's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate how things kind of go down. It's kind of like Any Given Sunday. That was pretty accurate, in my opinion.
Definitely didn't see that either.
Yeah. You know, the program was pretty accurate in its time.
But from what all the reviews, it was not a cinematic masterpiece.
No. It was pretty boring. Yeah. Like, it's probably exactly how the day is. Like,
tell you. You know? Like, draft day, you're just, because think about it, especially in the first round, you're at 21, you're just sitting around, you're eating, you're trying not to snack, you're not trying to get too full. And then two picks before, that's when things start. All right, everybody gets in the room, you start talking, you may pick up some calls and stuff like that. But other than that, you're sitting around just like everybody else, like, oh, that guy went. Oh, I didn't think he'd go. Oh, I don't like that pick. Just commenting just like anybody else until, like I said, two picks before you. Then you start saying, okay, let's get focused, fellas.
59% on the old tomato meter there on Rotten Tomatoes.
Not bad. Yeah. That's not bad. There's worse movies out there.
Didn't we find that Ace Ventura Pet Detective was like really lowly ranked on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, it was ranked really low.
Yeah, that's bull. Mm-hmm. I think the Austin Powers movies are ranked low, too.
Right.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about.
So no. what's a good tomato score?
Around 60 to 80.
Okay.
None of the horror movies do well, right?
The new Sinners movie that just came out, Michael B. Jordan and Ryan Coogler.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It got like 99%.
Holy hell. Yeah. Whitlock said he hated it.
Of course.
But then he also said he didn't get popcorn, which, good for him.
How do you not go to the theater?
Especially if you're Whitlock.
Yes, and get popcorn.
I mean, because you're probably, you know, one handful of butter and salt away from that being it. No offense.
No offense.
May it please the court, with all due respect. Big old, never mind. All right. Give us a prediction, Doug. 21 overall tomorrow night. Is it going to be Shador?
Shador's going to be off the board. And the Pittsburgh Steelers at 21st pick in the 2025 draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin, take Derek Harmon, DT from Oregon.
Wow.
I think right. Hampton's going to be off the board as well. That's why.
If Shador is gone and it comes down to Hampton and Harmon, we are going to have a fight on Friday, and it'll be really fun.
Yes, it will.
That would be good radio.
That's right. And we'll talk to you next week, Doug, when it's all figured out. Maybe Kirk Cousins will be a Pittsburgh Steeler at that point.
I'm sorry. I just threw up in my mouth.
Me too. Thank you, Doug. Doran, talk to you on draft day.
One more
day.
Yep.
34 hours, 4 minutes, and 53 seconds away. From the NFL draft, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40.